Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday evening, March the 29th, 2015.
Good evening. It's great to have you with us tonight. Good crowd tonight. We're looking forward to this service as well as the things that take place, an opportunity for us to sing together tonight and pray and worship together and pray over our ministry team and just a lot of things going on tonight. And I think you'll be blessed if you just open your heart tonight. I'm going to pray and we're going to get right into the music tonight. And then Dr. Loftus is going to come in just a minute and kind of explain what we're going to be doing tonight. So let's pray. Father, we just give you thanks for the opportunity to be here again tonight. We thank you for what you've already been doing in our lives today through your word. And we pray that as we come to this service tonight, that it will not just be a formality, but it'll be something that we look back on and the importance of just you guiding us. Thank you for the past. We trust you. And as we'll be singing by faith, we trust you for the future and what you have for us in this church body. We love you tonight. And pray that as we sing, our hearts, we just would lift them up to you and lift praise to you in all that we do and say tonight. For it's in your Son's name, mighty name, we pray. Amen. Would you stand with me as we begin tonight singing by faith?
By faith we see the hand of God in the light of creation's grandson.
Against me, but I will hold.
Ask the ushers if they would to come forward, and we'll take our offering at this time. Bob, would you lead us in prayer tonight, please?
Father, you ask you to guide us by your Spirit and to give us strength and faith.
Thank you. Well, this is a very special evening, and I'm glad you're all here. Not every church, not every leader gets to have a moment like this, where there's actually a physical exchange of blessing, and in a sense, a kind of commissioning moving forward. As you know, I was sent out, commissioned as a missionary by this church, and went out to Eastern Europe back in the mid-1980s. And one of the first experiences that I had was to try to help churches in Eastern Europe, in Ukraine and Russia and Romania, to try to figure out a continuity plan, because some of their pastors were taken off the streets in the middle of the night by the KGB. And so they had no pastor, and they didn't know where he was, or when he was coming back, or ever. What do we do? And some of those churches came up with some of the most creative plans, pastors. Some of them came up with kind of a conveyor belt system of training lots of pastors so that the faster they could take them, you know, we had another one to put in place, you know. And it was just quite remarkable to be there in those days. I also had the remarkable privilege of being there on Christmas Day, 1989, as Ceausescu, the dictator in Romania, had fallen and was being tried, and it was just such an amazing day. Just a few weeks before that, I had been turned away at the Romanian border, called a CIA spy, told if I ever came back, I'd be put in Ceausescu's prison, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I used to hear that a lot. But they were pretty serious that time. But what was interesting is that just a few days later, when the fighting began and the borders became open for humanitarian aid and so on, I came rumbling back from West Germany with three truckloads of clothing and food and Bibles. And I always thought it was interesting at the border. They asked me, you know, first of all, do you have guns? And I would always say no. And the second question they would always ask me is, do you have Bibles? I thought it was interesting that they were just about as afraid of Bibles as they were of guns. But on every occasion prior to that, when I came to the border, I would say, well, I have my personal Bible, which I'm allowed by the Geneva Convention to have my personal Bible. But this time when they said, do you have Bibles? And I said, yes, I have truckloads of Bibles back here. And I'll never forget the guard sort of looking at his feet and looking around and not talking. And I just said, well, would you like one? And he said, Da mulțumesc. Yes, thank you. Please. And so I made sure we got him one. And for the first time ever, I saw a guard at the Borsch crossing smile. And he said to me, Bine ați venit în România. Welcome to Romania. And that changed everything. And that Christmas day, I was able to be in a church, in a large church family. And there were actually three pastors who were able to come for the first time. One had been exiled out of the country. And for several years, he was not able to be with his church family. He was only able to minister to them over Radio Free Europe. And then he was able to be there on that Christmas day. And the other two pastors who had kept the church going were also there. And I'll never forget the shock on his face when they said, would all the people who were members when he left please stand up? And about 600 people stood up. It was wonderful. And then they said, would all the people who have come to faith in Christ stand up, who have come to faith since he left? And there were 2,400 people who stood up. And it was shocking. But that created a picture for me that day of how God's work is truly a relay. It's not a marathon, it's a relay. Ever since the Lord Jesus Christ commissioned his 12 to reach men who would reach men who would reach men, God has been in the business of building his church using a sequence of faithful men. The same things Paul said to Timothy that I've committed to you, you find faithful men, you commit to them. And Dr. Euler has been a person in my life who has committed to me so much, and I've sought to be a faithful man, Pastor. And so it's a privilege for me, and I told you that before we started, because I'm one of the few people in this building who actually attended this church when Dr. Dingus was still the pastor. My sister attended this church, and I came out on some Wednesday nights several months before Dr. Euler ever began here. So I recall this church before Dr. Euler and during his 37 years, and now to have the privilege of seeing this sort of transition. And it's a beautiful transition when it happens well. And we need more stories in the body of Christ of a good transition. Don't you agree? May this be a story that will be told for generations to come and across our country and beyond of how God's people have had the capability and the ability to embrace one another and their former leader and their future leader and move forward with confidence by faith and watch God work in a great and mighty way. Tonight we're going to hear from Dr. Euler. He's going to give a charge to Ben, and he has some things to share with him, and Ben will give us a challenge and accept the charge from Dr. Euler. But first, however, we're going to see a video. And before we see that video, I'm just going to share with you one statement that I once had in a conversation with Dr. Warren Wiersbe. As we were talking about the transition of leaders, he said to me, "You know, Michael, God's workers may change, but God's work goes on and on and on." And tonight, we are actually privileged to see the exchange and in a beautiful way see the expression of how that works. Watch carefully as Richard Allen Farmer in this video displays for us the beauty of what that transition can look like.
I want to, in this worship segment, demonstrate a biblical principle using music. Here's the biblical principle. You're going to do your best work and ministry, and then you're going to die. That's the biblical truth. You're going to play your best song before the Lord, and then in time you have to slide off the bench, and another person will come and keep the music of God going. But you, my friend, are expendable, and you are going to die. But the music of God will go on. Now, I'm going to ask Dave Talbot, who has been the program director, the floor manager. I'm going to ask him to come up here, and he has no idea I'm going to do this. So just come up here, Dave Talbot. This is completely spontaneous. You can tell from last night, I'm a rather improvisatory man, a spontaneous man. And this is what we're going to do. I've not spoken to Dave about this at all. I just know he's a good pianist because I've heard him at Mount Hermon and other places. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask Dave to sit down and just start playing a commonly known hymn or chorus. And when I feel like it, I'm just going to take it from him. And he's going to slide off this bench and just stand behind me like he is now. And then when he feels like it, he'll take it back from me. And what I want to show is that the music goes on, although the players change. You're going to do your best work. And when it is time to finish, you're going to slide off the bench. If you do it right, the music will keep on. Your organization will not die because you die. If you do it correctly. Amen.
All right. This is a short one because we're late, Richard.
Okay, I'm not sure where I was, But I was thinking that I'd heard this presentation probably, probably 10, 15 years ago. And I think Mike and Dr. Kempton, they played it, and they gave us actually a copy, a CD of that, and or the DVD that you saw. And I got it, and I filed it in my office, and it was gone forever. So I went online, and I found it, and I tried to get it downloaded, and it was downloaded, and no one could ever get it to play. And I, you know, and I think sometime a couple months ago I mentioned this and said, hey, I'd love for you to hear this, but it just never worked out. And so I was cleaning the office, finding all kinds of precious things in the office. I found a picture that Dennis Peiser had gotten for me of Marla Collins back on my 40th birthday and personally autographed it. She was the Cub ball girl. And and then I found something for my 50th birthday. I don't know what happened on the 60th, but I found all kinds of treasures in there. And some of you that are grinning the most at me, I want you to know I found some of your pictures too. And I have all of them, and we'll organize them and arrange them, and they will show up again, I can assure you. Several years ago, when I had heart surgery, I think one of the things, there were a couple things that really, I think, came clear to me in that experience. First of all, when Mary and the family and even the nurse that was taking care of me left the room, and there I am with those tubes and everything, and it was just me and the Lord, that was a pretty sweet time, and it was a pretty encouraging time. And I said, Lord, whatever it is you've got for me, I sure want to do it right, and I want to do it the way you want it done. And I don't know what kind of time, and of course at that point in time, I believed I was invincible and bulletproof, and I was neither one. And so consequently, when you know that and when you see that, you come to a place where you realize, well, what kinds of plans, what are we doing to really help the ministry to succeed? And it was at that point in time I talked to the deacons, and we formed a succession committee, and we started a process, and we prayed, and we just looked to the Lord to know just what it was that God had for us. And we've come to this day, and to this day when Ben and Judith are here, and I'm not going to get on to... I had a few piano lessons, took piano for several years, but I think that we're in trouble if we're going to do that. Maybe if I got my saxophone. But, we've come to this day, and I'm excited for this day. I'm excited for the opportunity that Ben and Judith are going to have as they carry forth the ministry. And I want you to understand, Richard Farmer made a comment, and I wrote it down. He says, if you do it right, then the music goes on. We got to do it right. Amen? We've got to do it right. And so consequently, this is, I think, a very significant and important time in the ministry of this church. Ben, I'm behind you 150%. Want you to succeed, want you to do well before the Lord. And if I had things to say to you in terms of a charge, I would tell you what Steve Farrar said. What did Steve Farrar say? Steve Farrar said, first of all, stay in. Okay, so you got to stay in the Word and everything. And, of course, that's the commitment that we all got when we went to Dallas. Preach the Word, instant in season and out of season and so forth. 2 Timothy 4:2. Stay in, stay close. Close, accountability. Going to have to be some people that speak truth in your life. As important as your wife is, there's going to need to be some men in your life that can look you in the eye and you will tell the truth to. And you will deal with your life before the Lord. Stay in, stay close, stay away. Stay away from relationships, from situations that would destroy you spiritually. And finally, what Hendricks used to say time and time and time and time again, stay alert. Four things, stay in, stay close, stay away, stay alert. Because none of us are spiritually bulletproof. Ben, I want you to receive this Bible and thank you so much for being willing to follow the Lord and to serve the Lord. Let me just say, you know, and I'm going to say it again, and I want you to know that I'm going to do whatever I can to help you to succeed. I want you to preach the word. I want us to have more folks going into missions. I want the school to be healthy and to develop because of all the ministries we have with the school. I want folks to be saved that would come to know the Lord as their Savior. I want this place on this corner to be a lighthouse. I can't keep playing that music forever, but you can play it. And so I'm looking for you to be able to do that and to carry it forth. Now, I want you to understand, for a period of time, I'm probably going to take a hiatus. I'm going to be away, but at a time when we really feel like it would be best for the ministry, I will be glad to be back and be more directly involved in the ministry. Ben, I don't know you, but I love you, and I want you to follow the Lord best you can. Amen.
Amen.
Thank okay.
You,
thank you.
Thank you all very much, and Pastor, I wanted to thank you too. And it's—I had actually not seen that video before, so I just kind of get to think about those things now. And there is no way that I would ever be able to even begin to play the piano with you, or the saxophone, or any other instrument. But what we can do is all of those things that you have listed, the things that have been done through and in the lives of these people, missionaries around the world and right around here. Right there in Atlanta as well, those things will carry on.
Amen.
And be seamless. And so I just wanted to thank you, and I mentioned this when I was here the last time, and you know, you and Mary weren't here at that point, but I wanted to thank you for all of your years of faithful service, and it is really an honor to follow somebody like you, and it's extremely nerve-wracking, too, to try to fill those shoes. You have done an amazing job with this church already, and I know that it's not over. And one thing that I really look forward to, kind of like what we see in there, is the people, the two men came together at the end to start playing together, is when you do return, getting to minister together. To get to learn from you, and hopefully you can find something to learn from me, too, and to continue on in the ministry together. And I look forward to that day. So thank you very much. I appreciate you very much. Thanks.
Okay, right there. Okay.
What we want to do right now is to ask Mary to join Steve and Judith to join Ben. And we're going to actually demonstrate a visual demonstration to our church that this church has arms big enough to go around everybody. Amen? And so we have a prayer team that's going to come and stand by Steve and Mary. And if you've been asked to do that, you come on up now. And we want you to stand right by Steve and Mary. You have a special prayer team. And just kind of gather right around them. All right? Terrific. And in just a moment, I'm going to ask one of you to lead us in prayer for Steve and Mary. Pastor Euler, as he moves out and has more freedom now to do some things maybe he's wanted to do for a long time, to maybe visit some churches that he's kind of had a curiosity about what's going on down there and what makes that tick. And he may do some research for you, Ben, and come back. And I'm hoping that I can actually get him for the first time in all the years you have supported me. He has never been with me on a missions trip. I'm hoping I can get him to come with me at least once. So, Doc, now that I got you where I want you, will you promise me you're going to come with me one time?
Mike, I've ridden with you in a car before. I'm concerned.
Well, I also have something very special that I want to do at this moment in behalf of Mary and Steve and their families. And I would like to read this to the church family just before, John, you lead us in prayer, okay, for Dr. and Mrs. Euler. Dear Grace family, on behalf of the Fisher, Dull, and Euler families, I want to publicly thank you for the many cards and encouraging notes, flowers, food, hugs, and prayers that you have bestowed on our family these last 4 weeks since Jesus called our Schaefer home. We couldn't have kept our heads above the depth of our own grief without the grace of God and the prayers of His people. As those of you who are still walking your own path of grief know, there is no quick fix for the long and difficult journey ahead of us. So please, please keep praying for us. We don't understand God's timing in taking young Schaefer from us, but we are trying to stay focused on God's sovereignty in all areas of our lives. Romans 8:28 and Jeremiah 29:11 have become especially important to us at this time. We have already heard of some people who have been made life changes because of Schaefer's homegoing. We continue to pray that this will be multiplied over the world in the days, months, and years ahead. Again, I say thank you and ask that you keep the prayers coming as we are just beginning on our long journey of grief. Love in Christ, Mary, for the Fisher, Dull, and Euler families. I want to be sure that, Catherine, you can come and be part of this prayer team for Mom and Dad. You can come on up here and just join them because you're part of it anyway. So you just come on up here and stand with your Mom and Dad because the entire Euler family is part of our care and prayer team from this church. Right, folks? John, lead us in prayer for Pastor and Mrs. Euler.
Thank you, Father, that you've given us 37 years and blessed, kept Pastor and Mary faithful to the Word, faithful to us as their body. And we pray, Father, that you will bless their day ahead, that you'll give them wonderful days, that you'll give them a wonderful ministry ahead. Father, that you'll keep them faithful to the Word and to each other. We pray that you'll bless them with many, many wonderful, encouraging times of fellowship, not just with their family, but with their friends, that this body will come alongside them and pray for them as we pray for them, that you'll bless and use them, and that you'll make this transition a beautiful thing, and we'll be encouraged to see what God has done in the days ahead. We ask these things in Christ's name.
And don't move. This prayer team stay. And we have a second prayer team that's going to come and gather around Ben and Judith and pray for them. So would you come, please, that prayer team? Ben and Judith, we want you to know you're going to be just as encouraged, just as supported and cheered for and encouraged just as much as the Oilers, if not more. And so we have, Paul, would you lead us in prayer, please, for Ben and Judith and their upcoming ministry with the church family.
Heavenly Father, we look forward to the next chapter in this church's life. We see how that you've prepared the way, how your hand has been in it, and we thank you for bringing Ben and Judith to us. We pray that you will teach us through them, lead us through them, make us teachable, leadable, that you'll soften our hearts, knit us together, and lead us into your way in the days to come. We ask it in Jesus' name.
And if you'll stay there for just a moment, I'm going to ask we're going to ask the deacons and leadership of the church, the staff, the leaders, if you're a leader in this church, a Sunday school teacher, deacon, whatever, come and surround this group and just stand in a circle right around them. And Kurt, I'm going to ask you to come here and join me and to lead us in prayer as the leaders of our church encircle both of these care teams and Pastor and Mrs. Euler and Pastor and Mrs. Graham, that God's hand of blessing will be upon this church and this will be a united, accelerated, emphatic thrust forward by God's grace and with his power. Would you please lead us, Kurt?
Sure. Father, we're so grateful and thankful to you that this is your church. It's not ours. But we thank you, Lord, that you've been privileged, each one of us, to become a small part of it. We do pray, Lord, especially that as we embark on a new chapter of this ministry, that your hand would be evident in every phase of this work. I pray, Lord, that you would endue each one of us with your power, that your spirit would continue to work in a mighty way. Lord, we look to you for what you're going to accomplish in the lives of all of us that are here. Lord, I thank you for each person that is here tonight. Lord, we know we all need prayer from our congregation, from each family, from each youth, from each little child. We just thank you, Lord, that we have the privilege of being in a body that is united. Lord, that you have great things for us to do and accomplish for you in the future. And we just pray that you would just give us a deeper burden for the lost. Lord, that we'd have a deeper burden for each other, that we would love each other with a fervent love. And we just pray, Lord, that your work would continue here. And we thank you again for the legacy that Doc and his family have given to us here for at Grace. Lord, we, again, don't understand your timing and all these things that occur, but we thank you that you know our hearts. And as we've heard this morning, Lord, you care about each one of us, that each one of us are significant in your sight. And I just pray, Lord, that for Brother Mike, Lord, and Joe Beth, Lord, as they serve you in their field that you've called them, that will be an even greater prayer for them than we have in the past. We thank you for what they're doing and for that ministry that they're involved with. Thank you again for your goodness to us. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. I just have a couple of things I want to share with you by way of encouraging the church family that we now have a challenge to live up to our name. Again, a little story from my past. In 1990, in a moment I will never forget, I stood in a freezing cold city auditorium in the city of Kharkiv, Ukraine, city of about 2.5 million people. It's where the Russian War College is located, where they train colonels, and part of the conflict area now in northeastern Ukraine. But I'll never forget, as I stood there, they had told me we were, for the very first time after Glasnost, we were going to have the opportunity to have a citywide evangelism campaign. And because they couldn't afford to pay the city for the heat, they were going to have some lights turned on, but no heat. So we were all in there in overcoats and so on, and you could see our breath. And this choir gathered on the platform. And that night, as I stood honored beyond words to stand over on the side with a group of pastors and evangelists who had been in prison for their faith. And I don't even know why they asked me, because I was, I guess, the guest missionary. They couldn't get out of it. You know, they felt like they had to give me a slot to say something. To me, it was a moment where it was so sacred that no foreigner should almost be allowed to be there. This was their time. But as they began to sing, as that choir began to lift up their song with the symphony playing behind them, and as all the combined choirs in the city began to sing, "Veruju, veruju," "I believe, I believe," and they were singing their creed, "I believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. I believe that he came and died on the cross and was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And I believe that he is coming back for us." It was a moving thing. And there was just sort of electric in the air. And I could see the men standing next to me with tears kind of coming in. A couple of those guys were just sort of trembling. It was just an exciting moment there. And the man next to me, I said to him, "Help me," I said, "something special is happening and I don't know what it is. I feel like I'm missing part of the script." And he said to me, "Michael, Dias Nash, you don't know. You don't understand. You don't know what happened. I said, no. I said, tell me, Sasha, what happened here? He said, Michael, everyone standing with you were sentenced from this platform. Here we stood. Here we confessed Jesus Christ. Here the mocking world laughed and scorned and cursed obscenities as we were led away to prison. Tonight, from the same platform, we get to sing our faith for the city. Those people, they get to hear and they get to see that we still love them. Isn't that an amazing story? It was just one of those sort of historic moments where I thought, Lord, I don't know if I'll ever get to see this again. But in the spirit of that moment, I wanted to share with you that I believe that this is a moment for this church where you have an opportunity to demonstrate something for this city, something for this community as they watch. They're always watching. You know they are. People watch. They listen. They're looking for something. What is it they're looking for? Well, in a lighter moment, I found this and I said, Joe Beth, I'm just going to show them this. You know, I collect things as we travel. I collect all these kind of funky trinkets. And I found this T-shirt in a Tennessee shop. And it's this T-shirt here. And I'm just going to kind of lay it here. And I'm going to put the words on the screen for you. And this T-shirt says, Intermountain, Everlasting, Fundamental, Old-Fashioned, Independent, Fire-Baptized, Missionary, Bible Church of the Living God, Twice-Born, Pro-Millennial. And at the bottom of the shirt, it says, The Church Where the Name Says It All. And if it weren't so funny, we'd be crying because we've all seen churches with names like that throughout the South. And my wife and I were laughing as we used to drive up from the seminary to the church that Dr. Euler encouraged me to get involved while I was a student in seminary. We used to drive up there for 4 hours, and we would pass through Franklin, Tennessee, and we would go through, and we would pass New Hope Baptist Church, and then we would pass Old New Hope Baptist. And I could go on with that, but I won't. But I really want you, and I want us as a church family, because we are part of this church family, we want you to be able to have this community to believe that the name of this church says it all. Grace. Grace. Your name, our name, the name of this church says it all when the hero of all your best stories is always the same person, and it's Jesus. It's not your pastor, not your Sunday school teachers, not your deacons. It's Jesus. Every pastor who has pastored this church and who will always pastor this church, who is a disciple of Jesus Christ, is going to want that to be true. Dr. Euler, you want that to be true? Ben, you want that to be true? They want every story we tell to point to our hero, Jesus Christ. And the Bible says to us in John chapter 1 and verse 14, and a little bit further, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen the glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. For from His fullness we have all received grace upon grace, the source point, the fountainhead of grace for this church is none other than a person. It is Jesus Christ. That is why the name says it all when the stories we tell lift up Jesus Christ. Amen? That's point number one. Point number two, the name says it all when they can tell that we don't care who gets the credit as long as His name is Jesus. Right? Do you know that too many times in these kinds of transitions and times when there's overlapping leaders and so on, you remember kind of what happened in the days of the Apostle Paul in Corinthians? You know, and there was a group that said, well, I like Paul. Well, I like Apollos. And I'm of Cephas. And they had all these different things going on. And dear friends, we can have a unity that will cause everybody to sit up and take notice. If people understand that there is no other person we care about who takes the credit other than Jesus Christ, that will cause people to say, wait a minute, there's something about that church. The name says it all. As I said, God's workers may change, but the work goes on. The name says it all when we don't try to pretend that we are not weak sometimes. You remember what Paul wrote? But my grace. That's our name. My grace is sufficient for you. And I started doing this thing. I pulled off, you know, my Colin Brown, and I started pulled off, you know, my theological dictionary of the New Testament, and I started going through 30, 40 pages of article. Basically, grace is always presented in the Bible as something given from the stronger to the weaker. Something from God to man. Something from the one who has more than he needs to those who are in deep need. And the Bible says, but my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. There is no more attractiveness to this name, not the one on the t-shirt, the one on the sign, grace. There's no more attractive name than when people come here and they realize, hey, you know, those people over there, you know, they're not perfect. But, you know, they don't even try to fake it. I mean, they're being real. And I want to say to you that there is nothing that the young generation today in our country wants more than to be a part of a body of believers, a community of people who love each other so much, and they're just real. You have that kind of a name, you live that kind of a name, you won't be able to keep them out of here. Here's a viral example this week from the internet. Anybody recognize this picture? This was a policeman who helped a lady who couldn't finish a 10K race. She was literally walking down the road praying, oh God, help me, oh God, send me somebody to help me. I just don't think I can make it. And this policeman saw her. And he stepped over and he said, you mind if I walk with you? And he walked 2 miles with her to finish the race. And that thing hit the internet and it's gone viral. I mean, it's a big deal. Everybody's, and you know, that's kind of like, I'm looking at that going, boy, isn't that better than some of the other stuff you kind of see that goes viral. But what if that were the kind of thing, because of grace, that starts going viral in the community around us? Because part of living out our name, the name says it all, the name of grace says it all, when people feel safe enough around us to be honest about their struggles. In fact, this particular passage of scripture that's up there, and I'm sorry we didn't get the font size right because we just couldn't get it all up there in that font size, but let me just read it for you for those who can't read it. And that includes me from here. But in Titus chapter 1, it says 3, but I don't know if that's... I don't know if that's right. It's 3, verse 3, yeah. Listen to this. It says, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one. Could you imagine what it would be like to be a part of a church where no one spoke evil of anyone? Could you dream of a church like that? Where it says to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, to show perfect courtesy toward all people. Wouldn't it be awesome if this was the one place you could come in all of Hamilton County where people would go away and say, you know what, I've never been treated so courteously in my entire existence on the planet. I go there and those people just are unbelievably nice. That's what Titus says. And then he goes on to say, for we ourselves were once foolish, were we not? Disobedient, led astray, slaves to passions. But when the goodness and loving kindness of our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And another, your name says it all. When people, I'll back up one there if I can. Yeah, when people see that even our leaders need grace. You know, you can go to a lot of places in this country, and we have rampant in our country a kind of celebrityism that just sort of blankets churches and Christianity. And there's people who are celebrities in these gigantic stadium-sized churches, and they're on screens and across the internet. I mean, we have a neighbor down not too far from us in South Atlanta who is currently trying to get the membership of his church to buy him a $65 million Learjet. Okay? And right now they're not willing to do that, so I'm not sure how he's going to get around. But I mean, that's really, we're talking about superstar leadership. And you know, when you go around those kind of superstar leaders, do you know generally what happens? The security guy steps between you and the guy. Like, excuse me, sir, what do you need to do? Security, take this guy out. I'm serious, that's what happens. You can't get next to those guys. But if people come here and people see that what this passage says, Peter writes, so I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, shepherd the flock that is among you. Did you get that? Among you. Not like far beneath you. Among you. Exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering, but being examples. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown. That's a good reminder. Grace has a chief shepherd. Every shepherd that we have been taught by, who has stood in this pulpit since day one, has been an under shepherd. But we have a chief shepherd. One day we're going to see him. That chief shepherd is the one who will evaluate and give an assessment of every under shepherd who stands before you. Take heart and be warned, under shepherds. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. If this place is going to be a grace-filled place, this place has to be a place of humility. Because if you have a place of humility, God will not oppose you. You don't want God to oppose you. You want God to give grace. What we need, more than we need, beyond what we deserve, to our delight, to our shock and awe. God, you did that? Yes. Humble yourselves, therefore. By the way, this passage began, I exhort the elders among you. It's still speaking to elders. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may, at the proper time, exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the lion, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. This church knows that. This church knows that every single pastor on the staff of this church has a target on their back. Some have been mauled by that lion. You know what I'm talking about, right? Tears have been shed. Prayers have been prayed because the devil, like a roaring lion, is prowling around seeking to take out who? The leaders. The pastors of this church. Well, we got to finish. Your name says it all. When people see that we're not perfect, but it's okay to grow here. Because Peter says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And there's a place to get it. People should know. We should tell them, you need grace? Come here. Come here. Come with us. Get on your knees with us, because here we'll take you with us into the presence of the throne of grace. Let us therefore with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Could I just say to you something? If we practice this stuff, if we live up to the name, not this one, that one, people will move heaven and earth to get in here. They'll climb over walls to get to the place where they can have the favor of God, where they can have the hand of God, the blessing of God, the power of God, the sufficiency of Christ, grace to help in time of need. You know, you've received it. Different ones of us have stood in deep need at different moments of our life. There are several here who are suffering grief that you just think that ache is never going to go away. You need grace. There are some here who are wondering about the whole career thing and direction, and some people are a little nervous, you know, about the budget and taxes are coming up and all of this stuff. You need grace. Let's make sure everybody knows. This is the place where the name says it all, because it's all about grace. Amen? I'm just going to ask the Lord for that, because he says that's where we get it. And then we're going to stand together and we're going to sing Grace Alone. But let's pray first. Father, I ask you tonight to enable us, oh Lord, to hear your voice, to be at your side. Enable us, Lord, as a church family to come together, to demonstrate to this community, to one another, such immense, such amazing demonstrations of grace to one another. And from you, Lord, all of it from you, that people just can't wait to get here, to know what it's like to be in a place like this where there is grace upon grace. We know it's possible. You've told us it was. Thank you, dear Lord, for your grace. Please, Father, continue to pour out your grace upon our beloved Dr. Euler and Mary and their family. They need grace in these days. I pray that you would lift Dr. Euler's eyes to see new vision and new things that he can do now that the harness of day-by-day leadership here is no longer something he has to pull in the traces all the time. I pray that you would enable him to be freed to dream some new dreams and to impact some new lives. I pray for Ben, Lord, as he comes in and begins to pick up the leadership mantle and carry forward with the staff and the deacons and the church family. I pray that we would all support him and pray for him and encourage him. Father, would you use him in a mighty way? And would you allow this church to be none other than a place that demonstrates the presence and the grace of Almighty God? And Father, enable us to do more than sing it. Help us, Lord, to live it. Grace alone. In your name we ask it. Amen.
Every promise we can make, every prayer and step of faith, every difference we will make is only by His grace. Every mountain we will climb, every
Judith, if you will just come and stand down front, and also Dr. and Mrs. Euler, because I know some of you would just like to say, greet them again and welcome Ben and Judith, and say maybe a word of thanks to Dr. and Mrs. Euler for their faithful service here. Thank you so much for being here. Hasn't this been a good evening? A moment of victory, a moment of transition, the passing of the baton. Father, thank you for this evening. We give it to you as an offering on the altar. We ask only, Lord, that you would fill us with your grace and allow us to be living testaments of that grace. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God by knowing Him through His Word, loving Him through worship and obedience, and serving Him by caring for others. For more information about our ministries, please go to www.aboutgracebaptist.org. See you next time.